Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. You know, it's a great time whenever we bring a living legend on the program, and one who is still very active on the scene, like yours truly. Singer Annie Ross is one of the original vocalese performers. She traveled the world performing with Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross. She's even done several film roles. I asked a dear friend of both Annie and me, John Weber, to guest host today's program, and I can't wait to hear what they've got cooking. Order up, John.
Thanks, Marian. Annie Ross, jazz legend and cookbook author, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Thank you.
You've done just about everything. I know that you, even before you began your phenomenally successful jazz career, as a world-renowned jazz artist, I don't know anybody who had a childhood so filled with great music and great musicians.
I was blessed.
You were and you are blessed. And as I recall, at the age of 4, you were barely in the country. I mean, I don't know how long, maybe days, weeks, and you met a famous band leader on the radio already.
Well, I came through Ellis Island with my mother and father, and I was 4, and we came to visit my aunt, who was a singer called Ella Logan. And I used to play with this little child in the lobby of the apartment building she lived in. And she happened to mention that her father had a radio show. And I said, well, I should be on it. And she said, why? I said, because I can sing and I can dance and I can tell jokes and everything. So at which point her father appeared. He was this very tall, portly man. And I said, I understand that you've got a radio show. And he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, I should be on it. And I repeated what I told his daughter. So he gave me a piece of paper, which I promptly lost. I went upstairs to my aunt, and the phone rang. This is a few days later. And a voice said, is Annabella Short there? And she said, yes. He said, well, we're expecting her down at the studio to do this broadcast. And she said, well, she's taking her nap. He said, well, get her up and bring her down to the studio, which she did. And I was dressed in a kilt. And I can recall the scene. It was in a broadcast studio with a stage, and it had all the contestants, the children, sitting around in a kind of horseshoe shape. And he called my name, and I went up, and I delivered a few lines, and then went into a song that my father wrote called Oh My Mary Mackay.
Wow.
And I won the contest.
Well, would you have had the courage to get up and sing The Very Thought of You for
real? Of course.
We should do The Very Thought of You.
All right. The Very Thought of You. And I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king and foolish though it may seem, ought to me that's everything.
You even through Kenny Clarke, if I'm not mistaken, you met a musician who was coming in from Sweden one time at the airport. Tell me about that.
Well, Bird, Charlie Parker,
yes,
had been in Sweden. And he decided he wanted to stop in Paris and see Klook. But times were tough, and Klook had a gig. that he had to go to, and it was on the north coast of France. So he said, Charlie Parker's coming over, and I'm going to give you a note. I want you to go to the airport and meet him. He said, I'll arrange with Charles Delaunay.
Jazz Hot, right?
Le Jazz Hot.
Exactly.
Absolutely. To accompany you to the airport, and you give this note to Bird. And off we went to the airport, and out came this guy in a bright red duffel coat and a big smile. And Delaunay introduced himself, and then he introduced me. And I gave him the note. I hadn't looked at it. I didn't know what it said. But it explained who I was and who I was in Klook's life. And Bird just gave me the biggest smile. And Charles Delaunay said, now, Bird, we have a car for you with a chauffeur, and we will go to the hotel. And Bird pulled me aside and he said, is there any room where you and Klook are living? Because by that time we were together. And I said, well, we share it with two other families, but I'm sure we could. So he said to Charles Delaunay, no. I'm going to go and stay with Klook and Annie. And he did. And Bird said, you got anything to drink? I said, no, because we didn't have money to spend on booze.
And you were a kid, too. You were 17, 18 years old at this point.
Yeah. And I went to speak to the lady of the house, and I said, Johnny, do we have anything to drink? And she said, no. Oh, wait a minute. She said, a brother-in-law of mine came here years ago, and he brought a bottle of homemade liquor. She said, but nobody's ever drunk it. It's very strong. I'd heard about Bird, but I went into it and I said, now, we do have some liqueur, but it's incredibly strong, and I've been told that you only need a little swallow. Johnny came in with a decanter of this potent stuff, and I said to him, careful, careful. Well, he glugged it right down and was none the worse.
He probably played a gig that night.
Well, he certainly went to clubs and played.
Oh, yeah. Like you. I mean, again, you were sitting in. You sat in with... I imagine you played with Bird, obviously.
Yeah.
And Billy Strayhorn was living in Paris at the time.
Yes.
Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea.
And you probably worked with him and...
He taught me Lush Life.
Really?
Yeah.
I love your version of Lush Life.
Well, it's the way he taught it to me.
Let's play Lush Life.
I
want to do that with you.
Yeah, let's do it. I used to visit all the very gay places, those come-what-may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life to get the feel of life. From jazz and cocktails, the boys I knew had sad and sullen gray faces with distingué traces. When they would be there, you could see where they'd be. George Wallington's wife, Billy, took me by, and he was frightening. He was in this huge room, a desk at the end of it, about 10 phones on the desk. And Billy and I walked in, and I said, my name is Annie Ross. Yeah, they tell me you sing. Well, yes. And he didn't hear me sing or anything, but he said, okay, I'll sign you up. We'll see how you do. You know, if you're good, we could do some things. And I said, okay. The next morning, I went out and celebrated, as was my wont. And I was having a great time. Got back to the apartment, fell out, and about 8:30 in the morning, I get a phone call. Annie Ross. Yes? This is Joe Glazer. I want you to get up to the Apollo. Have you got music? Yes. Have you got a gown? Yes. Have you got a piano player? No, but I'll get one. Okay. I want you up at the Apollo for the 10 o'clock, for the 11 o'clock show. I said, oh, okay. Wait a minute. What am I doing? He said, you're substituting for someone. I said, who? He said, Billie Holiday, and hung up. Well, I hung up. I was on the floor. I was so terrified. I mean, the shakes began. And I did as required. And I got up there, and I was sitting in the dressing room. And the door opened, and in walked Duke. Now, I hadn't met Duke. I had sung for him in L.A. when I was a kid. He was suave and lovely and smooth. And he said, dear one, why are you shaking? I said, because I'm terrified. He said, have you ever met a lady? I said, no. And I wouldn't want to, because if she said anything detrimental, or I think I'd just die. And he said, nonsense, come with me. And he took me in, took me down to the ladies' dressing room. She couldn't have been sweeter. She said, hey, baby, how you doing? And she was swollen on the left side of her face. And I said, oh, I'm fine. And she said, have you got a piano player? I said, yes. Do you know what you're going to sing? I said, yes. So, I mean, that was all wonderful. So this is the first show, and that's when the hard nuts come in. Feet up on the seat in front of you. And like, okay, show me. Sing for me. I'll be the judge. That's how it felt. And thank God I was doing. So when Duke said, ladies and gentlemen, I have some bad news. Miss Holiday will not be appearing at the first show. Well, a lot of people got up and walked out. That's who they had come to see. So I go on, and thank God I was doing things like Twisted, Farmer's Market, etc., etc. They loved it.
You blew them away.
They loved it because I was doing something different.
Right. They loved Billy and they loved you.
Yeah, I came off. I was in a kind of daze, and Lady was standing in the wings, and she just held her arms out to me. And then Duke came out and said, come, you beautiful, whatever he called us, we're going to go on and take a bow. And I've always regretted the fact that someone wasn't there with a camera.
Wow.
You know?
Your first meeting.
Yeah.
So you knew Billy, Duke. My gosh, you could probably write an entire song just using the first names or the nicknames of...
I've done it.
You have done it, isn't
yeah.
it? I knew it. I knew it. I gave that to you. You wrote a beautiful song called Music is Forever.
Yes.
The lyrics.
Yes. Russ Freeman.
Great pianist.
Late, great Russ Freeman.
He was great. I would love to play Music is Forever with you.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
Great. In this senseless world, precious things are few, like the warmth you feel from children's laughter. I have memories. They are precious too. They're never old. They're always new.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.